Lord, which is the greatest commandment? A question is posed, and the answer is not given. In true Jewish rabbinic style, our Lord gives the answer proposed. Why? Well, because of the complications that could arise. The Jews, apart from the Ten Commandments, had hundreds of rules and obligations that obliged them to live in a certain manner. Which of these is the greatest? How do you answer that? So, in not replying the question posed, our Lord instead claims the ancient Jewish prayer called the Shema. In fact, said every day, every morning and night from Scripture, proclaiming who God is, a basic assertion of faith and hope. I suppose we, in praying the rosary at the end of each decade, doxology prayer, the Glory Be prayer, have something similar to this, the Shema. Now, in not replying to the question, which is the greatest commandment, Jesus is not saying that the Ten Commandments aren't important, but rather he pushes the bar even higher by affirming that these laws lead, as they ought, to the love of God, the highest and the true purpose of our lives. Remember that God's commandments are not for his sake, but ours. After all, he does not need them. We need them, for we have to keep them in order to play in the game of life. And they keep our eyes focused, moreover, on the final goal, scoring heaven and his presence. So that's why he commands them. And it's an obligation. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And St. John, the beloved apostle, would add later, if you say you love God and don't keep his commandments, then you are a liar. In short, you're living a double life. You're a fake, a facade. Quite a day. So once we conform our will to God's, then we can proclaim, as did the Jews in the Shema prayer, the greatness of the Lord and how much he occupies our life. When we arrive at this level, the kingdom of God is truly close at hand, as Jesus said. For in his domain, all wills seek his. All love is directed towards him. Such is the nature of his kingdom. This realm shall be for the perfection of his church, his body. And in that mode, its mystical nature shall be pristine. On earth, here, we see the church as imperfect, or simply because we belong to it, and we're sinners trying to be saints. And furthermore, the church here remains in its infantile state, something like a seedling that hasn't grown to maturity. But when it is matured in heaven, it shall be perfect, and have complete fullness. One aspect of his church that we can grasp now, and we ought to, as we enter the month of November, is the nature of his body, which, like all bodies, exists in a three-dimensional mode: height, width, and depth. Now, a thing can exist in a two-dimensional mode by means of technology. TV screens, our phones, are all virtual screens. They're not real. They're two-dimensional. They mimic reality. For that reason, Facebook is truly fake book rather than a face. Can something be or exist in a one-dimensional mode? Good question. Two-dimensional, yes. Three, yes. One? I think not. No, of course not. What about a four-dimensional mode? I sometimes wonder if the world of grace is the fourth dimension that we shall see when we get our spiritual eyes in that realm. Anyway, that remains to be seen. Now, of the three dimensions of the body of Christ, we are the pilgrims on earth in the first dimension. The dimension is of those who have died, the holy souls being purged in purgatory. In the third dimension of the body of Christ, the church, are the saints in heaven in glory. On Monday, we celebrate the feast of All Saints, November the 1st, and we honour or acknowledge the citizens of heaven, be they known or unknown, be they on the calendar or not. They are the holy ones who dwell in his presence, because he is the holy, holy, holy one. The word saint is the same word in Latin as holy. These are those saved souls who are utterly perfect, dwelling in eternal time and resplendent light, whilst their souls are utterly filled with the love of God. No pain or suffering endures them. In glorious bodies they have, filled with ecstasy and true joy forever. Then on Tuesday we have the memorial of the holy souls, the November the 2nd, day when we pray for all the dead. Priests, in particular, are strongly encouraged to offer three masses for the holy souls, that they may be assisted in their state of purification, and thus, in turn, become perfect and attain their goal of heaven. We, the pilgrims, can assist them in this first week of the month by visiting the cemetery and praying for their souls, or just offering up our prayers and masses for them. And note too that once they are holy enough to enter heaven, in turn, they will pray as saints for us. They'll intercede for us here on earth. For what comes around goes around on earth or even in heaven. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, let perpetual light shine upon them. May the holy souls rest in peace. Amen.